first reading is from Acts. Today's reading is a description of life in the community following Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit was outpoured on God's people. This new community is founded on the teachings of the apostles and sustained in the breaking of the bread. The baptized devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading today is from Peter. Doing the right thing does not guarantee that one will not experience difficulties, hardships, rejection, or even suffering. Here Christ is presented as the model for our path of endurance and loyalty to God, particularly in the midst of adversity. It is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin and no deceit and was found, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live forever, live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel for this, the fourth Sunday of Easter, is written in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus uses an image familiar to the people of his day to make a point about spiritual leadership. Good shepherds bring people to life through Jesus, but those who avoid Jesus are dangerous to the flock. The reading. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. This is traditionally known as the Good Shepherd Sunday, and the texts, especially the gospel, signal the notion that we who are in Christ have been asked to do what God in Christ has done for us as a good shepherd. You recall back in our journey through Lent on Maundy Thursday when Jesus knelt down and washed the disciples' feet and said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? And then he said, you must do as I have done to others. So here we have the image of the Good Shepherd. As the gatekeeper for the sheep, Jesus tells us, I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, that is the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. This morning I want to ask you to think about being in eighth grade again, and this is your confirmation day. I want you to think of these illustrations from this sermon as encouragement to you as a young person on your way into life, and thinking about what is it that God wants from me as I move into life. So, by way of emphasizing this great passage of hope and confidence, I want to share two important messages for you as a confirmand. First of all, I want you to know that one of the lessons your parents cannot teach you, and the other lesson your church can teach you. However, the one lesson that you can't learn from your parents, you will learn later in life when you experience it. This will become clear after you hear the following story of the prince and the pauper. There's an old tale told of a prince who was fleeing from revolutionaries who were determined to kill him and remove him from his throne. Fleeing from his pursuers, the prince sought shelter in a peasant's cottage. The peasant gave the prince refuge and told him to hide under his bed, knowing that they wouldn't find him under there. But he didn't know that this was a nobleman whom he was hiding. No sooner as he hid under the bed than his pursuers battered down the peasant's door and began to search the cottage. They searched everywhere. At last, they approached the bed, and since it was huge, they decided to plunge their knives through the bedding rather than move it. Concluding that the prince was not there, they left. Fortunately, the prince was not hurt and crawled out from under the bed when he heard that his pursuers left. He turned to the man who had saved him, and he said, I think you should understand that you have just saved the life of your prince. Name three favors and I will grant them. The peasant was a simple man, and after thinking for a while, he said, my cottage is in great disrepair and I have not had the money to fix it. Can this be done? Fool, replied the prince. Of all the things in the world, "Why did you ask for such a small favor? I will honor your wish, but what is your next request?" "Sir, my neighbor sells the same wares as I do in the marketplace. Would it be possible to change his location so both of us could make a better livelihood?" "Idiot," said the prince. "Of course I will do as you wish. What foolishness would you have? You could have had riches to ask such nonsense. Take care that you do not anger me with another silly request." Being extremely curious and no longer able to contain himself, the peasant said, "As my third request, I ask only that you tell me how you felt as the knives were being plunged into the bed." This request so infuriated the prince that he said, "How dare you offend me by asking about my emotions? For this act, I will have you beheaded tomorrow." Calling for several of his loyal subjects, the prince had the peasant taken to jail. All night, the man wept because of his folly, and he was afraid of what would happen in the morning. When the sun rose, the prince's guard came and led the peasant into the courtyard, where the executioner, with a black hood, stood waiting for the terrified man. The peasant was forced to kneel before the block, where a guard on horseback came riding into the courtyard shouting, "Stop! The prince commands it." As a result, the executioner, whose blade was resting on the man's neck, withdrew his sword. Speechless and trembling, the man stood up and faced the guard who just saved his life. And he said, "His Holiness gives you his pardon and orders me to give you this note," said the guard. While tears were rolling down his cheek, the peasant read the following words: "As your final favor, you wanted to know how I felt under that bed when the revolutionaries came. I have granted you your request because now you know. There was no way I could have told you, no matter how eloquent my words, unless you went through a similar experience. You could not comprehend the feeling of mental anguish or relief I had experienced." So, the prince and the pauper learned something that their parents could not teach them. And the church rejoices in its lesson that God is truly present for us in all of life's experience, especially those we cannot understand now. As you move into your joys, as you move into the joys and fears, the tests, the failures, the successes of adult life, God will be there with you. The message today is, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." So Martin Luther spoke about life as a journey, a process, life as a dynamic, not static, experience. In the following quote, Luther boastfully describes the activity of life as movement, not status quo. This is one of my favorite quotes of all time from Martin Luther. He said, "This life, therefore, is not godliness, but the process of becoming godly. Not health, but getting well. Not being, but becoming. Not rest, but exercise. We are not now what we shall be, but we are on the way. The process is not yet finished, but it is actively going on. This is not the goal, but it is the right road. At present, everything does not gleam and sparkle, but everything is being cleansed." In theological terms, we just heard Luther describe what is called sanctification, the process of becoming holy. the experience of growth in Christ toward greater maturity as we age and experience life. However, because of our age-old rebellion, that is sin, life does have experiences that are painful. So I'm sure you, as a young eighth grader, will probably make some mistakes as you move into life. And I want to read to you 6 mistakes that humans make. And then I'll tell you who wrote it and when. 6 mistakes that humans make. Number 1, the delusion that individual advancement is made by crushing others. Number 2, the tendency to worry about things that cannot be changed or corrected. Number 3, insisting a thing is impossible because we ourselves cannot accomplish it. Number 4, refusing to set aside trivial preferences. Number 5, neglecting development and refinement of mind and not acquiring habits of reading and study. Number 6, attempting to compel other people to believe and live as we do. So what do you think? This was written in 43 BC by Cicero. And it was now 2,060 years ago that that wisdom was shared with our world. So I really want to emphasize that God in Christ as the Good Shepherd has come to you to guide and encourage and support and love you along the way, especially in those lessons that you haven't learned yet. In a few moments, the blessing for you will be, Father in heaven, stir up in you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confirm your faith. Guide your life. Empower you in your serving. Give you patience in suffering and bring you to everlasting life. May God be with you as your journey of faith continues, as a shepherd, as one of God's shepherds. Amen.